Okay, kids, come on in. Come on in. Come on in. Is that Ralph? Is your name Ralph? Hi, Ralph. Dave's told me all about you. No, Ralph, nobody can be that wonderful. I mean, you know, but anyway, Dave doesn't lie, so, you know, say hi to Ralph, folks. He doesn't get to go to church and get embarrassed, you know, like that very often, so. Guys, come on in. I don't want to start without you. Ralph, the couple talking in front of you, that's my wife and Bailey. My wife has a real hard time in church. She just keeps talking and talking and talking. And you know what? I can't straighten her out because everybody loves her. What am I supposed to do? You know? I know what Earl's thinking right now. He's thinking, John, go easy on her. John, stop. Let's pray, okay? Father, thank you for this wonderful family. Thank you that it's Victoria Day weekend, God. Bless all our people, God. They're all over the place, getting some rest and relaxation. And Jesus, I gotta say it again. I wanna thank you for giving me what you have given me this morning, God. I am so pumped about this. And Lord, I'm just asking that, it won't be the result of a hyper pastor. But that God, that you would really take it and use it, God. God, you know, Lord God, there's you know what's at stake here, and you know how hungry we are for you, and God, you got to do your work. Just do your work here. Amen. Okay, we need them. We need them. Now, we need them more than they need us. Okay. I'm talking about the poor. Now you think I'm going to do a message to advocate for the poor and to get you more involved in ministering to the poor. That is not what this is about. Okay? It's way more important than that. Way more important than that. There's a theology of the poor, and I'm going to give you the word today, that the evangelical world loves to ignore. Okay? And a lot of you have come from Catholic backgrounds, okay? I will say this for the Catholics. The Catholics have done more to communicate and exemplify the theology of the poor probably than any other religious group in the world, okay? Now, we could all sit back here and take pot shots at them and criticize them for the things that we've experienced we don't like. But one thing they've got down pat, not all of them, but probably more than anybody else, they know how important the poor are. They really do. And I am believing the Lord that the Holy Spirit's going to give us understanding with what I'm going to talk about, because if he doesn't, you're going to get mad at me this morning, okay? And this is Bank Street, and I park about two blocks from here on Bank Street at the Bible House every 3 mornings a week, because that's where our home is, at 315 Lisker. And I got out of the car in the back of that alley there, and you know what it's like back there. Thursday night we saw a raccoon, and there was another group but Church of Messiah was upstairs doing a music practice, and we're leaving after Thursday night for the suit night, and I looked down the alley, and there's a raccoon, and he may as well just waved at me, because he was like, hey man, how's it going? That's not the bad part. They had left the door wide open in the alley, okay? And he was looking at me like, I already did my work, man, I'm going now. You know? Okay, that's the first raccoon I've seen, but I've seen a lot of rats, and we had a bat in the kitchen, and you know, I park the car and I get out of that. Every morning I look up, there's skyscrapers all over the place, and you know, there's noises and there's smells. Heather had two surprise birthday parties this week, because she just turned a very significant age, and she doesn't care about who knows, but I'm not going to tell you anyway. And Heather's ultimate idea of a vacation, there it is right there, okay? That's her ultimate idea of vacation, okay? Algonquin Park, running into moose, staying away from them so they don't hurt you, but, you know, just mosquitoes, the whole thing. That's heaven for her. Or, make it even better, throw in a couple horses and a long ride, that's her, okay? That's not me. That's not me. There's my vacation right there, okay? If I could afford it, I would be in New York City all the time, okay? And I remember, and I gotta confess, I've led a number of urban. I've led a number of missions, youth missions teams, to large, slummy ghetto cities. Brooklyn, often, Tijuana, Mexico. And I'll explain it to you. This is Windsor, Detroit, okay? Where's Rich? Rich, okay. Here's Detroit. Here's downtown Windsor. Here's the Detroit River. Okay, there's Dougal Avenue, Olette. This is downtown Windsor here. I grew up right there on the corner of University and Bruce. Out of my bedroom window, I could see this. Okay? That's my hometown. And I'm a city guy. Okay? I am not this guy. Okay? Thank God I'm a country boy. I am, and I gotta hope that this works here. I'm gonna put a tune on. I'm gonna put a tune on. And, now you're gonna see that. Oh, John, what are you doing? Please, no, okay? Yeah, I'm gonna do it. And, you'd stay for the rest of your life, okay? And let's see if I've got this working here. Okay? Yep, there we go. Okay, that's enough of that, okay? I mean, some of you going, oh, please, okay? Going to the city, got you on my mind. Country, sure, it's pretty. I'll leave it all behind. This is my decision. I'm coming home to stay this time because I'm a fool for the city. Breathing all the clean air, sitting in the sun. When I get my train fare, I'll get up and run. I'm ready for the city. Air pollution, here I come because I'm a fool for the city. I'm like a fish out of water. I'm just a man in a hole. The city lights turn my blues into gold. I ain't no country boy. I'm just a homesick man. I'm going to hit the grit just as fast as I can. I'm tired of laying back, hanging around. I'm going to catch that train. I'll be city bound. I ain't no country boy. I'm just a homesick man. I'll get off on Main Street, step into the crowd, sidewalk under my feet. Yeah, the traffic's good and loud. When I see my inner city child, I'll be walking on a cloud because I'm a fool for... Do you know how many times I sing that song? You know, I mean, you're not all into the music, but boy, I love cities. I love this city more than any city. I am called to reach this city. How can I do it? Well, I think we've all come to the conclusion after 2.5 years of doing this, we don't know how to do it, do we? So what do? We do what we feel the Lord is leading us to do, and we do the best we can. Okay? We need the real baptism of the Holy Spirit that I've been flogging like crazy and the real presence of God, the real presence of Jesus. Not some hyped up stuff, not some stuff that we've read from a book, not some stuff where they have great meetings for a couple years and then it's over. No, I'm talking about the real presence of God that causes the devil and his minions to fear and tremble. Okay? That doesn't have to be sold. This is God moving. If it's God, you don't have to tell people. They know. Okay? We crave for that. And I think we've tapped into the secret now. I think we just may have found the missing link. Okay? We need the poor more than the poor need us. Because when you're pouring all your life into the poor, they're high maintenance. They don't pay back. And there better be Jesus there, because all you got for them is Jesus anyway. And when you're functioning only under the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, it opens the door for him to do what he always wanted to do, but there was always some ego in the way. I gave you Psalm 127:1, unless the Lord builds the house, it's an ego trip for somebody. It says the builders labor in vain. Same thing. It's an ego trip for somebody. Okay? Look what the word says. Truly I tell you, whatever you did, one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. He was so serious about this. Listen, he was so serious about this that he sent people to hell for ignoring this verse. Okay? I was thirsty. I was hungry. I was sick. I was naked. I was in prison. What do you mean he sent them to hell? Go down to Matthew 7:22. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And your name drive out demons? And your name perform many miracles? We had big churches. We had mailing lists. It was wonderful. Get lost. I never knew you. And the main reason was they ignored that declaration. Okay? When you're with them, you're with me. Think about it. There's a multi-billion dollar industry writing books of how you can know the presence of God, how you can move into some, you know, mystical relationship with Jesus when he gave us the way to really know him. Get with poor people. Because that's where I am. Nobody seems to take this seriously. Are you ready for the biblical onslaught? I'm going to answer some questions. I'm going to answer them with the Bible. You need to know this isn't just a hyped up preacher here. This is our Savior. Okay? How do you know he's really the Messiah? How did they know he was really the Messiah? Well, this is why they answered the question. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. The good news is proclaimed to the poor. Didn't say that, you know, the good news is proclaimed to our target audience. The good news is proclaimed to the plumbers. The good news is proclaimed to the students. The good name is proclaimed to rich people who have a lot of influence. No! How can you tell he's the Messiah? Because he's got a priority on the poor. Okay? The other stuff is great too. I'm not dissing it. But I can guarantee you right now, the reason I think a lot of this stuff happens is because this was happening right here. That's the key ingredient right there. Who's our target audience? The Spirit of the Lord is on me. Jesus talking. Because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. What do you know? Look at who Jesus' target audience is. Look at who's higher priority. He doesn't say any other group of people. Okay? He has sent me to proclaim freedom for prisoners and recovery, sight to blind, set the oppressed free. That all comes under the category of the poor. They're his priority. I wonder what most churches' priority is. Okay, everybody talks about it, how important it is, but come on. Look at where church budgets go. Buildings. Well, you know, we gotta have the smoke machine working good, and the light's gotta be just right. I've been in churches like that. Okay, maybe I'm being a bit too hard, but I gotta get out. I'm sorry. I'm messed up. You got a messed up pastor. I'm sorry. But when you give a banquet, when you have a party, when you do something, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Well, then how can I be holy? How can I be holy? But now as for what's inside of you, this is Jesus talking. Look at what's inside. This is incredible here. Be generous to the poor and everything will be clean for you. Look at that. Look at that. Have you ever heard that preached at an evangelical? No, you got to pray the magic prayer. You know? You gotta get your theology right. Look what Jesus, our Savior, says. Be generous to the poor and everything will be clean for you. Wow. I would suggest we need them a lot more than they need us. Why? Because they're Jesus. Jesus said so. I'm not talking idolatry. He said, when you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And he sent people to hell for ignoring that. This is serious stuff. And I think it's a wonderful, wonderful ingredient where we can experience the power and presence of Jesus like people can't who ignore it. And they think they're going to reach some kind of spiritual, you know, nirvana plane by, you know, some type of mystical Holy Spirit that's out there and has no impact on the neediest people around us. John, you sound angry. You know why? Because I think to a great degree, as I was raised in this whole evangelical Pentecostal thing, I was ripped off from these truths. Nobody ever told me about this stuff. I had to experience firsthand, and it now makes sense now. And I've told people this for years, okay? When I start a Capital City Mission and got it with OIM, I tell people I get more out of that than the best church service I could ever be in. I thought it was just because it's being with the poor. But the Bible says I experienced Jesus there like I can't experience him anywhere else. Makes sense. Makes sense. I'm as dumb as I've ever been. I make as many mistakes as I've ever been. But when I'm with the poor, I'm with Jesus, man. Thursday night's like crystal meth, man, from Jesus. I mean, whoa. It's burning me out. I don't care. I got to get with those people. They're wonderful. Those people. Here I'm calling them those people. God forgive me. They're my friends. It wasn't just the rich young ruler. You've heard me say it. Sell everything you have, give to the poor, come and follow me. And he turned away because he had great wealth. And you've heard me say, I'm that guy. But I didn't turn away. I got great wealth. He tells me to do what I'm supposed to do, but I keep following him. So maybe there's some hope, okay? Well, it wasn't just the rich young ruler, because here he's preaching to everybody when he says, sell your possessions, give to the poor, provide purchase for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes to near and no moth destroys. He's basically saying, this is the best investment you will ever make for eternity. Okay? And I look at that, oh man. But I'm not going to ignore it. I'm not going to turn away. I don't want to water down what his priorities are. I don't want to say, well, that's your gifting. Oh, shut up. I've had Christians say that. Well, you've got a gift for that. Well, what's your gift? Laying around being lazy and doing nothing but showing up at church and listening to sermons? Wow, that's a wonderful gift. Okay? How do you get God's attention? Cornelius stared at him in fear. This is the book of Acts. Look at this. What is it, Lord? An angel's talking to him. When's the last time you talked to an angel? I think if you ever talked to an angel and you knew it was an angel, you'd remember that. Whoa. Look at what the angel says to Cornelius. This guy's as dumb as anybody. But okay, here we go. Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. How do you get God's attention? The poor. The poor. Everybody's in denial over this, you know? It's like, oh, according to Peter, James, and John, what should be our priority in church life? This is Galatians. Remember I told you what the epistles are? The epistles are basically answering the question. All the epistles are answering the questions. Okay, now that we have Jesus, what do we do now? How are we supposed to live? All they asked was that they should continue. This is the apostles telling the leaders over the church. All they asked was that we should continue to... Oops, sorry. We should... Where do we go here? Back... We should remember the poor. The very thing I've been eager all along. He's not telling them, you know, to get their theology straight, which is important. He's not talking about the word, which of course is important. He doesn't even mention prayer. We're fanatics for prayer here. What does he say? Keep remembering the poor. That's all I'll ask. Maybe because that's a thing he knew they were going to ignore more than anything. You know, it kind of gets side. So yeah, we'll get around to it type thing. Okay. Does God have his favorites? I know there's a scripture that says God shows no favoritism. Best interpreter of scripture is other scripture. Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen the poor in the eyes of the world to be, look at this, be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him. He chose the poor. Okay? Man. If you're listening, I would be sitting there going, how do I handle this? That's how I'm reacting to this. I'm going, whoa. I can't just pass this off. You know? Does God have favorites? God chose the lowly things of this world. And the despised things. He had a choice. So I'm gonna choose those ones. And the things that are not to nullify the things that are. Okay, so how do we handle all this? Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud. This is huge here. But be willing to associate with people in low position and don't be conceited. How many friends do you have that, you know, they're never going to pay you back. They're never going to, oh, they'd make a fine church member. Oh, please don't ever say that in this church family. Please, okay? How do you handle this? We need the poor more than they need us. We need the poor. Now, this is going to sound weird, but it's true. We need the poor to evangelize us. We need the poor to evangelize. We need the poor to show us the true face of Jesus. Okay? I don't think too many evangelical Christians in North America are very familiar with the face of Jesus. Okay? I'm amazed at what draws crowds. I'm amazed at what excites people. You know, so what? Well, the poor need job training. They need medical care. They need food. They need counseling. They need financial help. They need protection. They need advocacy. The list is endless. How can I help? I don't know. The scripture that gives me the best is be willing to associate with the lowly. I don't know, but I know now more than I did 2 years ago. Remember, we haven't swayed from, we are not called to solve people's problems. We're called to bear one another's burdens. And it's pretty specific in the Bible whose burden I'm supposed to bear. If I can't solve their problem, at least they know they got a friend that cares for them, that listens, that's trying to do what they can. And that's all he's ever going to judge us on, is what we can do. But when we get praying, things happen, don't they? You know? They do. They really do. What God already revealed to Christ Church, we don't solve problems. We bear one another's burdens. My name is John Wesley. It was named after John Wesley. If someone were to ask John Wesley what they should do to minister to the poor, his first answer would probably be, show up and be with them. That's all. I don't know how to minister to the poor. They scare me. Just show up and be with them. You know? That's all you gotta do. Let the Holy Spirit do the rest. I'm telling you right now, if this crowd right now made a determination, I'm just gonna show up and be with them. If you did that every week for the next year, you would be running Ottawa Inner City Ministries. That's how the Holy Spirit would open your eyes. That's how much the anointing would flow in you. That's how much God would start giving you creativity like you never saw in your life. Why? Because you're with Jesus. And when you spend time with Jesus, you'll never be the same. Wesley believed that visiting the poor should be an essential practice of the Christian life. He exemplified the practice in his own life, beginning at Oxford during his days as a student, and continued throughout his ministry as the leader of the Methodist movement. Wesley felt the practice of visiting the poor was all too often neglected by Christians. He spoke frequently to early Methodists of its importance. Wesley's version of visiting the poor means being present with them. It entails giving them our attention, our time, our conversation, our friendship, our encouragement. Wesley's reflections on visiting the poor were based on the scriptural interpretations as well as his own practice. For him, there were four reasons why every Christian should regularly visit the poor. Please, I want to get rid of that word visit. Okay, I visit them. Okay, for the week. No. Be with the poor. Be with the poor. Associate with them. And if God opens the door, they're going to turn into your best friends. I'm telling you. And Jesus will do a work in you. And let me push it that this, Jesus will do the work in you you've always wanted him to do. And he can't do it if you're not seeing that face of his. Okay? Of course, the devil will keep you far away from as possible. Last thing he wants you doing is discovering Christ that way. Whoa. Oh, did I lose it? Oh, whatever. We've lost the slides, but that's okay. Visiting the poor is a command of Christ. In Matthew 25, you know, he says, I was sick. You didn't visit. It's a command. Two, visiting the poor is the greatest opportunity to increase pure virtue. Hear that? Well, nobody's perfect. If you fiddle it, make it work, you know, see what you can do. You got it? Just leave it. Just leave it. Rich, just leave it. I don't need it. I'm almost done. It's okay. If you want to leave this in the podcast, it'll sound kind of cool. Give it a raw edge, you know what I mean? Wesley knew that our charitable deeds could be done at a distance. Okay? While charity is certainly important, it is important to be in community with the poor. You know, these people pay their checks. Yeah, we built that building there. They don't know any poor people. This, Wesley said in the same sermon, will increase your sympathy with the afflicted. Moreover, being in community with the poor will correct our incorrectly held stereotypes about them. In his journal, Wesley once wrote about an occasion when he visited several poor people in London. He noted their strong work ethic. Oh, I didn't know they had that. And remarked that his experience with them called into question the popular perception the poor are lazy, for instance. According to Wesley, when we spend time with the poor, we develop virtues of sympathy and understanding that you can't develop any other way. You can't. You'll never know their needs if you're not with them. You can't read about them. Gotta be with them. If the needs are beyond your resources, you should not be afraid. This is what Wesley said. If their need is beyond your resources, you shouldn't be adverse to begging on their behalf. Wow. Wesley thought we should be careful not to assume we already know what the poor need. We should take time to listen to them, and listening can only happen by being with them. And lastly, he said, being with the poor is a means of grace. God saves through you being with the poor. Christ-likeness is achieved by us being with the poor. I think some of the deepest desires of our hearts can be unlocked if we'll just give time. The means of grace are the ordinary practice by which God conveys his gracious presence to us. By participating in the means of grace, our character is formed in the likeness of Christ. Wesley divided means of grace into two categories. Works of piety, things like reading scripture, receiving communion, saying prayers, fasting, and participating in worship, and works of mercy. Visiting the poor is a work of mercy that helps us receive God's gracious presence and be formed into the image of Christ. Wesley considered it just as beneficial to our souls as other practices like reading scripture and attending worship. It's powerful stuff. Now, here's where I want to close this. Remember Jesus said, and I've actually heard Christians use this as an excuse to not minister to the poor. The poor you will have with you always, but you won't always have me. And there are evangelical Christians who use that to embrace Jesus in some type of mystical way because the poor will always be there. That was the only group he ever mentioned that he said would always be there. He didn't say the tax collectors will always be there. Didn't say the criminals will always be there. He didn't say corrupt people will always, he said the poor. They'll always be there. What did he say about himself? Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the earth. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I think the two tie together. Have you got it? You're gonna have the poor with you always because you've got, always got access to the face of Christ and the presence of Jesus. They are always there for you to be transformed by them. Not gonna be instantaneous. Okay? But boy, if the Holy Spirit can do anything in me to sell you on this idea, how are you gonna do it? I don't know. I started hanging out with people that do it all the time and I'm way more comfortable now. It's not what I can do. It's just showing up. I had an opportunity to give something to somebody Thursday night. Okay. My buddy Miles. He's not here so I could talk about him. He has come to one service. I love Miles. Oh, geez. I love that guy. I had that guy in tears. He was so blown away by what I gave him. Okay. And I'll tell you, it cost me. It did. It cost me. I would have paid triple to see what it does. And somehow I can't explain it. And you know what? I can't preach it. You gotta do it. You gotta be there. Some of you know what I'm talking about because you've already stepped into this realm. Okay? And somehow those of us that have stepped into this realm, we gotta be better salespeople for making it happen in other people's lives. I don't think we could really know God without knowing the poor. I don't think we can. It could be religious, it could be Pentecostal, it could be four square, it could be born again. But as far as going knowing God, so what do? We repent. God, show us how. Change what you got to change, God. Let my desires conform to your will. Open up the door, God. Don't let me be distracted from it. Because look, I'm talking about your salvation here. I'm talking about your wholeness through Christ. I'm talking about your ability to change from a sinner saved by grace to a man of God, to a woman of God. That's his will for us. They don't need your time. They don't need your effort. They don't need that. Like a lot of people, you need their time. You need to be in their life. Because Jesus is not going to change you any other way. Okay? Most of you have had just about enough of the charismatic experience that you will ever get, and this is the next step. I'm not dissing it, okay? Because it could start there. But this is the stuff that brings balance. This is the stuff that has our feet four square planted on the ground. You know? God is trying to save the city. I had a picture of the Metropolitan Bible Church. Do you know that that church was such a significant part of our downtown life that when they tore it down and built the condos, the historical society said, no, you got to leave the facade up there. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? And every time I drive by there, and this goes on podcast, I hope it's not misinterpreted. And I've talked to some of their staff and some of their people. I get mad at Metropolitan Bible Church. I really do. How dare you abandon the city? How dare you leave the people that Jesus says he identifies more than, how dare you get a nice comfortable place in the suburbs where everybody is more comfortable? Jesus didn't call me to comfort. In fact, his disciples, he told them the world's going to hate you, but he told them to lay down their lives. If you lose your life, then you'll save it. That's what Jesus teaches. This is Christ's church. And to have it any other way, close your eyes with me, okay? He wants to save the city, but he's got to save us first. You know, I don't mean you're not saved. I know you're saved. But we live in the richest culture in the world. And we've even got a theology in this bent culture of ours that teaches that God sanctions, you know, being rich. It's not a sin to be prosperous, but Jesus never says nasty things about poor people. Boy, does he say nasty things if you're rich. How are you going to handle real riches if you can't handle worldly wealth? Okay? And I'm not preaching against wealth. I'm preaching about a way to know God like you can't know any other way. Jesus. God, this is not a condemning thing. God, you've set me free through this. I can finally know what God's like. I can go to the next level. The mystery's been moved away. And God, you've showed me a side of you I never even knew was there. I knew it was important to help poor people, but I never thought that I would encounter you like this. And yet it's all through your word. Your word's full of it, God. You're always there. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, you said, we're going to find you if we seek you with all our heart. And there you are, God. When you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. Jesus. A lot of us are going to have to filter this out. Hopefully there's going to be some talk, God. So Lord, would you guide us as a church and show us how to do this right? Lord, I know we're headed in the right direction. I know there's a place for it. Lord, we've agreed as a church we're not leaving downtown because this is where you need to be, Jesus. This is where you already are. Nobody looking around. I'm not going to do a salvation altar call this morning, okay? I know we do it every Sunday, and I would have to have real good reason to not do it. I just don't feel led to do it this morning. Hopefully I got the mind of God on that. But I really need you to close your eyes because, man, I do not want anybody being embarrassed or centered out here. Okay. I just want to, and this is not for my affirmation. This is so that you can confess to Jesus. Jesus, you got fertile ground. I need more, God. You got fertile ground. I will listen. All I'm going to ask you, and you're going to put your hand up and right back down. I'm not going to center you out. Not going to do anything like that. All I'm going to ask you is, John, I really needed to hear that. I really needed to hear that. Put your hand up and right back down. Real quick, okay? Okay. Now, if you really needed to hear that, okay, what's the next step? Well, you got two eyes, you got two ears, two nostrils, one mouth. So you got six parts of your head that take in and one that speaks out. I would suggest you, God, help them hear what you need them to hear this week. Help them to see what you need them to see. And God, if anything does come out of their mouth, Lord God, let it be the result of you doing that work of the Holy Spirit in their lives, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That's all I got. You can look at me now. I didn't mean to condemn in any way. This is exciting stuff for me. The fact that I could know Jesus just by being with poor people. That's what he said. Okay? Like, I hope that, you know, whatever we think about them, I hope it's been raised to a level that Jesus needs to have it at, you know? We need them way more than they need us. Okay, go say something nice to somebody and bless somebody. And we need help with the chairs and I may want to try out the drums a little bit and it might get loud in here. I don't know. We'll see. God bless you. God love you.